What's up, guys? I am Ian Merez from Rez Fitness. And like last time, we have Gordon Briley from PhenoX and Briley Nutrition. So we're super excited to kind of get another episode done and get some good information out to you guys. So we did focus on protein last time. So we thought we would actually focus on everything in regard to macros, so macronutrients. That's going to be our topic of the day. We're going to focus on three main components in this episode. What they are, first and foremost, why they're important. Then we're going to go into kind of utilizing macros correctly, depending on your goal situation in your fitness goals and situation, and in life also. And then manipulating the macros for long-term success, not only in fitness, but actually in life as well. So Gordy's going to start it off. We're just kind of going to get into the what are macronutrients and why they're important.
Yeah, man, this is probably my favorite topic of all, because this is where the most amount of power that someone, an individual has over their health is really based on this stuff. So I'm someone that loves data. So to me, having data is how you actually really, truly figure out your situation, how to best manipulate things to provide kind of the ultimate eating habits. And that's where you're ultimately going to see the best long-term success, is understanding how it all affects you. So yeah, awesome topic.
Yes. So first and foremost, what is it? What are micronutrients? And I mean, you kind of just got into why they're important, but for people who just, I mean, literally just don't know, have no idea what a macronutrient is, what are they?
Yeah, so that's kind of the important part, because I know everyone's heard of macros because it's really popular mainstream, but it's kind of like in the fitness market, it's really popular and people are hearing about it, but it's like sometimes they just don't want to take the time to learn about it. So hopefully there's people that are going to not know what it is and finally be able to grasp it based on this conversation. But macronutrients, macro meaning big, nutrients, that's pretty damn obvious. So it's really just understanding the amounts of each type. So there's protein, fat, carbohydrates, and water, sometimes considered a macronutrient. So that one we'll just kind of leave out, stick to the.
I think so.
But again, certain body types, certain genetic types will make it to where you need either more of one macronutrient, so maybe more protein. And then we actually talked about that last time, was the amount of protein that you need. And that's kind of what macros are all about, is percentages. They're all based off of percentages, so that you can, if you're tracking your information, you're tracking your calories and tracking your macros, you can start to make small changes or large changes based on results. So it's kind of results-based science, which is kind of the ultimate science. So understanding how many carbohydrates percentage-wise, and then fats and protein. So it's really pretty simple, but it gets slightly more difficult when you get to the point of trying to understand how to break down the percentages. And the one thing that I would say, which will help you understand it, is knowing that fat has 9 calories per gram. Protein has 4 calories per gram, and carbs have 4 calories per gram. So when someone eats something that's high fat, it's also usually high calorie, because it has over double the amount of calories that the same amount of protein or carbs have. And the other interesting one is alcohol. Alcohol actually has 7 calories per gram, which is almost as much as fat. Mm-hmm. So when you're drinking alcohol, calorie wise, you're it's almost like you're drinking some olive oil. So actually, we shouldn't say olive oil, should say some seed oil,
because I was gonna say like canola oil or something.
Yeah, it's terrible for you. So
but yeah, so macros are the breakdown in regard to your nutrition or food of fat, protein, carbs. That's the most simplistic way to kind of put it. And they're very important because, I mean, unless you're making health a huge, huge priority in your life, a lot of people don't know what they are and probably have never, you know, like looked at the back of a box that you're buying or a can that you're buying, whatever it is, or just looking up, you know, how much, what's in an orange or what's in an apple or something. It's really, really important to kind of understand what foods have in them, what you're getting from your food. And macronutrients are the only way that you can kind of understand what's going into your body and what you're taking in when you're eating whatever you're eating, which is very important.
And how it's affecting you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of what they are, what macronutrients are, why they're important. So now we're kind of going to get into utilizing them best for your goal or what situation you're in. So depending on your goal, obviously your macros, like kind of Gordy was talking about, your percentages will vary. They'll bounce back and forth along with, you know, what kind of situation you're in. And like he even kind of referred to, genetics has a lot to do with, you know, what macros work best for you. So Gordy, if you wanted to kind of roll into that topic.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the most important things to understand, and hopefully I'm not jumping to a different topic, but this is kind of, it's really just like, what is your current situation? Is really the most important thing, because we need to decide like, where are you health wise? Because if you're someone that's an athlete who's super active and expending a ton of energy and have healthy cells, your macronutrients are going to be much different than someone who has been, let's say, pre-diabetic or insulin resistant. And that's one topic that we absolutely need to cover, because really so much about your health is directly related to your insulin and what insulin does for you when it comes to storing or using energy and shuttling it where it needs to go. So knowing that situation is probably the most important thing. And unfortunately, in the United States, such a high percentage of people are actually insulin resistant, which is essentially pre-diabetes, where the cells no longer uptake glucose. So it starts at the muscle. And if the muscles are not able to get in, or if the glucose is not able to get into the muscle, then it actually starts to create insulin resistance. And then it gets shuttled to the liver. And if the liver can't handle it, then all of a sudden it starts to store it within the liver itself. It turns it to triglycerides. And all of a sudden the liver, when there's fat infiltration within the liver itself, the organ, it's completely disruptive and your metabolism is broken at that point. So all of this just to say, if you're in that situation, which again, most Americans are, unless you're someone that's very athletic, you're going to have to start in a very specific place, because if you go to a carb heavy diet and your cells are not uptaking glucose, which all carbs essentially turn to glucose, and it can't uptake them, it can't get them into the cell to get into the mitochondria, the energy factory of the cell, then that's a huge problem. So your macronutrients are going to have to be very specific in the way that they just don't contain glucose. So those cells can be resensitized by not inundating them with glucose. So you take away glucose in the diet, and that's where you're going to start out in a more low carb. And the more sick you are, the more strict it needs to be for it to actually work and resensitize your cells. And once those cells become resensitized, then the macronutrients on the other side of the scale, more carb heavy, will actually work. But if your cells are broken, then you can't start there, because it's just going to send it to the liver, and it's a broken system. So knowing your current situation is the most important thing. So I would say for most Americans, unless you're athletic or in a good situation health-wise, you're almost always going to start low carb. And how that is going to, like, how strict, that's what macros is all about. What percentage of what macronutrients? So being really heavy on the fat, like a keto diet is going to be about 90% fat, about 7% protein. This is like clinical keto.
Oh, I know. I'm just,
yeah, just for people that are watching. So 7% protein, 3% carbs. This is kind of, you know, everyone has different thoughts and opinions based on that. But the more sick you are, the more relevant those macronutrients become to make you, because it's just extreme glucose, getting rid of glucose, because fat doesn't turn to glucose. Protein can in certain situations, but fat doesn't. So to get those cells to uptake glucose again, you have to go maybe pretty strict, depending on your situation. I know that's a lot to take in, but it's our bodies are so complex, and everyone wants to make everything super, super easy to understand. But the problem is with the complexity of our body, we have to understand these kind of complex things to get it right. And then start to manipulate those macros based on your health situation improving, because you can start to skew more towards more carbohydrates. And that's where people are like, well, you should be eating fruit to be healthy. Well, hell no, man. If your cells don't take up glucose, you can't be eating fruit. But eventually you're going to work towards getting that stuff back in your diet when it doesn't have the same negative consequences as it does currently, because your cells are broken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, long-winded.
It's all good. It's all good. I mean, that's like super great information, detailed information. I think kind of the main things that people would want to focus on that takeaway from that is, you can basically, you know, probably 2 out of 3 people in this country would need to start out at a low carb diet. Yeah. Or even more. I mean, like, what is it? 65% of people are pre-diabetic, and it's something in like just absurdly high.
Pre-diabetic, yeah, it's very
also what Gordy mentioned, you can legit fix your body. Like, you can, through macro manipulation, you can actually retrain your body to understand how to utilize carbs and glucose. Which is amazing in itself, that you can do that by yourself, and you can get off of your insulin if you're on insulin, or any medication that's going to, that's helping you with your diabetes or anything like that. I think that's a huge, huge thing that everyone needs to realize. But the other thing is, don't get freaked out by, you know, him saying you shouldn't eat carbs, because that is another topic, you know, that like I
absolutely,
if you're a client of mine, this is something that I always, always harp on. Carbs get such a bad rap and I hate it so much, because there's simple and there's complex, and they're completely different. So again, depending on your situation, obviously, you're going to have, like Gordy said, you're going to have either, you're going to be using a ton of carbs for all the energy that you're expending if you're running constantly, biking, an athlete, younger, or if you're in the situation, you know, you haven't been moving a lot, you're just starting to maybe try to think about strength training or getting into the fitness, getting yourself into fitness, you're older, and, you know, your body is just not at the point where, like Gordy said, your body just cannot handle breaking down carbs and storing or utilizing glucose well. It's just going to mainly store it as fat, which is exactly what you don't want to happen. So, I mean, those are the big takeaways for me, at least, listen to what Gordy said. And I think kind of coming back, making full circle to the start, But that's why macros are so important, because you can legit like heal your body internally through manipulating what you eat. And everyone knows that. If you've ever started, or you've ever even just eaten clean or had, you know, cut out processed foods and simple sugars for like a week or two, how amazing do you feel? And how much weight do you lose like immediately? And maybe not weight, a ton of water weight, but still, like, you lose bloat, you feel better, you sleep better, you probably have more energy throughout the day. And if you do that for a sustained amount of time, imagine how you'll feel. Like, for real though.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a huge, huge, huge deal. I mean, do you have anything else to add in regard to that topic?
Like, no, I would just continue with what you were saying, in the way that carbohydrates do have a bad name.
Yeah.
And for some good reason, that's all processed shit that we all know better.
Right.
You have to be able to delineate or separate good and bad.
Yeah.
But all of them are bad in certain situations when you can't process them, but that's different. But getting back to carbs, and that becomes part of the genetic component to it. So we have to think about what body type, what is your phenotype, or like mesomorph, ectomorph, endomorph. So are you the naturally big, broad guy with lots of muscle? Are you you get fat really easy, just can build muscle pretty okay, which is, that's an endomorph. So I should probably explain them as they go. Mesomorph is the really big, can build a ton of muscle, genetically, you know, gifted, if you will. And then there is endomorph, which you can get fat easy, but you can build muscle okay. Then there's ectomorph, which is the naturally really, really skinny people, but it's really difficult for them to actually build muscle. But because of those types, we just categorize them to explain it. But those body types really are going to determine a lot about what your dietary needs are once you've dealt with that insulin resistance. So if you're someone that's a mesomorph, you have lots of muscle. Muscle is the storage place, muscle in the liver for glucose. So you're going to need a lot more carbohydrates, or you can tolerate more carbohydrates because you have more storage potential. Mm-hmm. And you're exercising, you're actually burning the glucose, and you burn the glucose out of a muscle when you exercise. So when you eat glucose again, it just goes back into storage in the muscle, as long as you're insulin sensitive. And it never has that negative effect of them going to the liver because they're blocked at the muscle because of insulin resistance, and then causing all that havoc in the liver. So you drain those tanks in order to actually avoid that situation. So it's really important to understand who we are. Someone that's in an ectomorph, that's naturally lean but has trouble building muscle, well, you're going to need different macronutrients. You're going to need a lot of everything. You're going to need a lot of calories.
Calories.
You need a lot of protein. And understanding like the amount and how they affect you is, again, what macros are all about. So if you try 40% protein, 30% carbs, 30% fat, and get the calories right, and that's the important component to this too, and we'll have to talk about that sometime, calorie deficit or calorie surplus if you're trying to build muscle. If you test those macronutrient ratios, so 40, 30, 30, and get the calories right, and that works well, then you know that those are pretty decent macros. But if not, it's not time to just abandon ship. It's just not going to work. Let's adjust the macronutrients. Let's start to move stuff around, whether it be calories, that's an important component again, or more fat or more carbs maybe. And you just make that adjustment. Maybe it goes 35 protein and then 35 and 30. And see, all of a sudden, if you have results based on those number changes, that is tracking macros, and that's understanding how certain macronutrients affect you. So make adjustments by tracking it and see how the results, what the net results are, and then keep making adjustments until you kind of figure things out. So carbohydrates, depending on who you are and what situation, are beautiful, because if you have lots of muscle, that's fast twitch. So you know, obviously, all about that stuff. If you have a lot of muscle that's fast twitch, you're going to love glucose and you're going to be stronger because of carbohydrates.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing. So kind of understanding as a trainer, and when you work with someone the first couple of times, you're like, wow, you are naturally very strong. So if you're naturally very strong, you're probably high in the fast twitch muscle fibers. So carbohydrates are going to become more important to your actual ability to get stronger, get faster, get leaner, whatever it may be. So again, it's situational, but
yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. And in talking about kind of continuing the talk on carbs, like people understanding the difference between a simple and a complex carb, because they are completely different. And I also going back to kind of what Gordy talked about with fruit, don't take from that fruit's bad. Just in certain situations when you are, you know, when you can't handle, your body can't handle it. And like you said, Gordy, we definitely do need to do a segment eventually on insulin, and just talk about the effect on your body, obviously with carbs, and get more in depth with that.
Yeah.
But you did kind of get into the next thing I want to talk about, which is like manipulating, manipulating macros for certain people, because everyone's different. So what do you think about, do you agree or disagree? And actually, before I ask you this, probably a good question for you that people would probably be asking, is like, how do I know what I am? You know what I mean? Unless you're going to go get your blood done, like your whole panel done, obviously that's the best situation for everyone to know what the hell is actually going on in their body. But like, what would you say to someone like, well, how do I know what body type I am? Like, I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Generally, I think people generally tend to know. If you look like a runner, you're naturally lean, then you're probably most likely going to have slow twitch muscle fiber. So fat is more relevant to those, usually in the type of athletics that those people excel in. Mm-hmm. And that's why runners are skinny. And that's why, you know, sprinters are really muscular. And it's really just, if you understand, and hopefully us talking about it will bring that to light, you start looking at who you are. There's some people that are just stocky. They might be shorter, very powerful. They have a very specific body type. They're meant to work. They're not meant to run. And yeah, that's what's important to understand, like who you are and what you're best suited to do. And then you can start to make your diet feed into, you know, those type of muscles, because muscles they're an organ. One, it's the organ of longevity as well. But if you're filling with the wrong macronutrients, because they're not designed, there's not a lot of them, or you're just not designed to utilize that fuel type, then that's where you need to start learning this information and what it's all about. So this is a good starting point. Mm-hmm. To give people some ideas of what to actually look for, which I love, because this is how we get people to actually start making changes in their life. But it's usually pretty obvious. If you're naturally strong, you can look at your parents, usually what kind of build that they have, one or the other. You're going to represent, kind of look like one of them or function like one of them. So it's not really hard to figure it out. But once you do, start figuring out which way you're going to skew. So higher carb, no matter what diet I do, they're all based on protein heavy. So 35 would be the lowest percent protein that I go across the board, unless you have kidney disease. And that there's a huge amount of misnomers or misinformation about what protein does and oh, it'll destroy your kidneys. Like, that's garbage. It's absolutely, it's been debunked a million times. So I'm always protein heavy. And then it's just really figuring out which mine is going to be minimum 30%, like I said, all the way up to 45% for someone that's really, really active, mm-hmm. or surprisingly really old. The older you are,
right. We talked about that.
The more relevant protein becomes, and people tend to eat less. And that's why it's kind of like, it's weird because you start eating less protein because you're old, and that makes you old, essentially. It does. It starts
with
you, because the less muscle you have, the less capable you are, the more likely you are to fall. And falls really are the start of end of life. So when you break a hip, that just, it's downhill after that. Mm-hmm. So if people just understand that, get their macronutrients right, they would age less. Exercise basic, but get enough protein and you will actually keep more muscle long term. And that's where that misinformation kind of screws people, and I hate that. So hopefully people will actually listen and start to make that macronutrient more important and build their meals all around the protein, because they are the building blocks of life.
We basically did the whole episode on protein last time.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, what would your suggestion be for like a vegetarian, you know what I mean? Like a vegan or a vegetarian, like building their, what would they build around then, do you think?
I mean, protein still is the most important thing. It's more difficult to get, not just the amount of protein, but the right types of protein. So macronutrients are kind of what they are. It's percentages. It's your, I don't want to say duty, but it's your goal to achieve the same amount of protein that anyone else would. But now you have to battle the fact that they're not as good quality wise. And we can talk about amino acid profile and being of the right amount of amino acids or the right type. But we don't want to get too much in the science of it. But making sure that you're getting the essentials, and then you need the non-essentials. They're both really important. Without one, the other one's kind of not going to do its job. The other ones are probably a little more important because your body doesn't make them or store them.
Right.
You have to get them through diet. They're going to be really important. But a vegetarian, they often really struggle with getting enough protein and the right type of protein. So you actually have to be mixing food types to make sure that you get the amino acids. So it just adds a big level of complexity mm-hmm. to actually get it right and make sure that you're getting the right micronutrients as well.
Right. I was just going to mention
choline is a huge issue for vegetarians. So that it's a difficult topic.
It's a huge difficult topic, and I know we talked about this last time, but it is I feel like people just don't really understand like how much you actually need to understand about being a vegetarian or a vegan and choosing that lifestyle. It's not just I'm not going to eat meat anymore. It's understanding that what you're going to be missing out on, like the micronutrients. I know we're not talking about micros right now, but like the micronutrients that you're going to be missing through the foods that you're going to be eating. And then, like you said, the macros too, because most of the time, not always, there are some substitutes, but you know, when you're looking at a protein source for a vegetarian, if you don't like seitan or whatever it's called, or tofu, you're probably going to be getting it from beans or, you know, something like that. It's going to be a carb heavy. It's going to carry a lot of carbs. There's, you know what I mean? It's a harder thing to do for sure.
Yeah. It's very
not challenging. Impossible, not impossible, but it's harder.
It's hard to get right.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at. And you're going to need to supplement with a lot of different things.
And part of the problem is initially you're going to feel good because you got rid of the garbage.
Well, anyone who gets rid of, you know, if you stop, like I mentioned, like if you stop eating processed foods or sugars, like simple sugars for a while, you're going to feel great. It doesn't matter if you're eating.
So it's when you get months into a vegetarian diet that it's drained, if you're not careful, it's drained a lot of those micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, all that different stuff, before really all of a sudden it's like you hit a wall and you feel like crap. And that's when people fall off of all kinds of diets, because really they just drain themselves of certain vitamins, minerals, macronutrients, stuff like that. They run out of fuel essentially. So yeah, so it's just really important that you get it right if you're going to do it. But I actually, and we can kind of segue into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, was actual manipulation, like kind of the when's, where's, and why's of that manipulation part of it, because this is one of the pieces of the puzzle I think people are also really misinformed, or they just don't know about, because it is pretty technical. And that's, again, why I love it. It's my obsession. And this is why kind of my clients have been really successful long-term, because of understanding this complexity, this side of it. So what happens is the body, if you are eating, let's say keto, and you're getting fat all the time, so your body's going to learn to utilize fat. So that sounds great. You become a fat burner, but all of a sudden, if you eat carbs, it doesn't really, it forgets how to actually utilize those. So it kind of disrupts the system if you do it for too long. So same with the inverse. If you become a sugar burner where you're super, super heavy on carbs and you forget how to utilize fat because you're not doing activities that make force you to burn fat, or fasting, stuff like that, then all of a sudden you're just a sugar burner. And when you eat fat, your body doesn't know how to assimilate it. It doesn't know how to deal with it. So it gets stored. So what's really important is to become what's coined as metabolic flexibility. And I love the concept behind this, because I've done a ton of research on this. And to me, it's fact. Like if you manipulate your macros and only spend so much time, so let's say a month or 2 months low carb, and then switch to carbs, eating carbs, more carbs, it's more relevant in your diet macro-wise, all of a sudden you're never getting too far from any one macronutrient. Protein's always there, but carbohydrates and fat, keeping that metabolic flexibility keeps the body from adapting. And the body is so good at adapting that that's what we have to battle. We have to essentially trick it and use how it works to our advantage. And that's where sometimes I even say, when we're going to macro manipulate, every so many cycles of switching from low carb to low fat, back to low carb, back to low fat, I'll even throw in a vegetarian style diet. I'll take some time and spend very low protein. And that'll probably surprise some people, but we don't want to overstimulate metabolic pathways like mTOR. We talked about that with protein too much all the time. And this is where I love fasting, and I love the vegetarian diet as a tool. It's not a lifestyle to me. I don't think there's enough benefit to it, but you insert it at certain points to bring the protein down and not overstimulate that pathway. And that's just manipulation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Personally, it's kind of why, I don't do it. I'm not strict about it, but I do. I've been, you know, and you are probably the same way. Like, you know what your body works well with, you know what your body doesn't work well with. So like on my lighter days, I will do, you know, lighter carbs, not as many carbs. And my heavy days, I'll do more carbs. And it's not like a monthly thing. It's a weekly thing. And depending on, you know, how hard I work, or how hard my body works, I will basically, you know, make macro manipulate my meals a little bit more.
It's kind of, you can do it daily.
Yeah, it's a meal to meal basis for me. So
yeah, that's cool. I like that.
It's not carb cycling, because I'm not strict. I mean, I'm not strict about it, and I'm not like, you know, I'm not completely cutting out carbs for a time period. But, you know,
you're like still, I said, still after.
What's up?
You're so active that you have a lot of freedoms that other people don't. And that's what.
Oh, yeah. And I don't want to get into that because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been training for most of my life. You've been training for most of your life. So like what we eat and our, you know, what our kind of macros are going to be completely different for like most people.
Yeah. And that's kind of the whole point of this talk is it's relevant to who you are and what you're doing in right. your current health situation. Right. So exactly.
But I've never really lowered my protein ever. Which is something that's interesting.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's really kind of relevant to cancer risk, because they say mTOR can actually stimulate certain types of cancer, breast cancer, I think it's one of them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been debunked a little, but I kind of like to, you know, think about cautionary like measures that you can take. It certainly doesn't hurt to take a break from it short term.
Yeah.
Just lower that metabolic pathway, let growth hormone kind of do its job too.
Yeah.
Let exercise do its job, protein synthesis, and not always rely on it. Give the same reason that I fast is give your system a break, you know, from certain all foods or certain types of foods, because metabolic pathways are really important. And when they're overworked, too much insulin, the pancreas literally fails at that point.
Yeah.
So it's good to not be eating all the time. And right, it's good. Depending, you know, any of the macronutrients, get rid of them all and just drink water, you're going to see tons of health benefits just based on doing that. So I think it's certainly it is 100% not, and this people are going to hate to hear this, one size fits all. We all know that, but we fall for it all the time by what's my friend doing? She looks great. Well, she has a different body type.
All right. Those
macronutrients, or she's in a different situation. She's exercising. If you're not, then you don't get the same types of foods because your body just doesn't know how to assimilate them. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you understand your situation. And that's what we're both here to do is teach it, but also we're trainers. So nutritionists, I get with people online. I know you do too, and teach these concepts. So we can pull questions from you and start to utilize who you are, your situation, and give you a diet that's hella specific. Mm-hmm. That way you're actually going to see results and you're not going to drive yourself into the ground, too low calories or the wrong micronutrients, macronutrients. And that's the end game, is to make sure that people are actually having success so they don't quit.
Right.
Because that's what happens is we end up forcing our body to say, hey, I'm starving or I'm missing certain things. I'm going to ramp up my hunger hormone and decrease my full hormone, and just you'll tend to overeat. Sure. So it's combating that, getting ahead of that and not letting it happen is why, you know, people that we work with are successful long-term, because they can see it coming or they just avoid it altogether by taking some of these strategies. So
right. Well, I think we should. So I think maybe the next episode we can talk about like insulin, and then leptin and ghrelin, like kind of what you just talked about. That would be a good, I think.
Yeah. And getting your calories right. That's all about, you know, making sure. And then we can talk about something. I was just telling someone about this, I think yesterday. I love this concept. And I will say it's a bold statement, but it's probably, I'm pretty sure it's true. And that's the protein leverage hypothesis and how your body will make you overconsume just to make sure that you're getting enough protein. If you don't eat enough protein, it'll kick up ghrelin, lower leptin, until you consume whatever type of food you're eating, until you get enough protein to satisfy the needs to keep you alive and somewhat healthy. So that's why people tend to overeat if they're eating low quality proteins.
Okay.
It's because their body's just saying more and more, I have to have this minimum amount. I'm going to keep you going until you satisfy that minimum amount.
Yeah.
And that's why we overconsume shitty food.
Yeah. I guess that, I mean, that's I like that a lot actually.
Yeah. It's, that's a thing, man, for sure.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, like protein is very satisfying for your stomach. It fills you up like really well. Higher quality protein does, at least.
Yeah, it's satiating for sure.
Right. So, I mean, that does, I mean, it makes sense when I think about it. It's just, you wonder, you know, people who are, they don't have access to like protein really. Like yeah. People in the inner cities, you know, who are eating the gas station or a 7-Eleven is legit like their only grocery store. So, I mean, I just, man.
You know where I get my protein? See that right there? Right there.
Did you hunt? Did you murder that thing?
No, my girlfriend shoots them.
Oh. Well, you get the benefit of eating them.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so we basically hit all the things we wanted to hit, like kind of explaining exactly what macros are, why they're important, kind of understanding what situation you're in.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to determine more carbs, more fat, less fat, and then basically manipulating the macros for long-term success and
not
overstimulate, you know what I mean? Like having your body, like you said, you know, if people are just completely doing low carb for a year and then they start eating carbs again, what do you think is going to happen? I mean,
you're going to pack really fast.
Yeah. I mean, your body has no idea what's going on and you're going to feel horrible for sure. You're probably going to gain whatever, but just making sure you manipulate them in a healthy way that your body can kind of understand each macro well and success moving forward.
And one of the things that happens is you end up having a diverse microbiome. So your biota, the bacteria, they grow certain types of bacteria based on the things that you eat. So having a diverse microbiota is really important for overall health and staving off disease. So it's literally, they call it the second brain is their stomach.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we could honestly basically say this conversation doesn't matter if you don't have a healthy gut. I mean, truly, because
totally, I gut mean, to butt, man.
It's true. I mean, a lot of people say you are what you eat, but it's actually you are what you digest. So I mean, if you're not digesting, if you don't have a healthy gut, and you're not digesting the foods properly, and you're not getting what is good from the foods, then you're not really using them, and you're wasting a lot of probably good food if you don't have a healthy gut.
Yeah. So I would say if people want more details, I did create a video. I don't know if you saw it. That was about macronutrients. So more of the specifics on where you should go when in percentages. So if you look up PhenoX Fitness and Nutrition on YouTube, you can see kind of more detailed videos, calorie deficit. Then your basal metabolic rate or resting metabolic rate, I should say, videos about that part of the equation. So there's always that source as well.
Yeah. I mean, we can definitely get into that eventually too.
Cool. All right, brother.
Cool, man. Well, it's good to see you. I got to see you twice this week, so that's cool.
Yeah, good times.
Awesome. So cool, man. Yeah, well,
thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, man. It was fun. We'll definitely do it again soon. And
all right. Cool.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy your Sunday.
Want to play volleyball?
Oh.
Gotta stay active, homie.
Absolutely. I biked this morning, got a flat tire, had to walk back 6 miles, and then I went for a 5 mile run. So hey.
Yeah, dude. You're nuts.
Whatever. And that
right there speaks to your body type. You know, your fuels, what drives you. Although you're that awesome mix that I wish I was.
So you can talk to my dad and my mom about that one.
Yeah. I want them as parents. Adopt me. Does that work?
No.
All right. I got to go, homie.
All right, man. Have a good day. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye.